Good morning, everyone. Hope you guys are having a great morning so far. Stand up and worship with us this morning as we just lift the name of the Lord.
Standing here in your presence, thinking of the good things you have done, waiting here patiently just to hear your still small voice again. Holy, righteous, faithful to the end, Savior, healer, redeemer, and friend, I will worship you for I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are, Jesus. Presence, thinking of the good things you have done, waiting here patiently just to hear your still small voice again. Holy, righteous, faithful to the end, Savior, healer,
God is good this morning. Yeah, go ahead and clap. Hey, you may be seated, but as you're sitting down, shake the hands of the person next to you.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is a beautiful day outside, and I am glad you're here this morning. We're going to have a great service today. Hope you enjoyed the rain yesterday. We kind of needed it, really. So it's a good day. We're glad you're here with us this morning. If you're visiting, we just ask that you'd fill out a communication card. You'll find those on the seat backs in front of you just to let us know you're here. And we appreciate that. When you came in, you got to worship God. We got a lot of announcements, and let me just kind of go over these real quick just to let you know what's coming up. We do have youth tonight. We're doing a coat drive for the community for winter clothes. The information is in here. There's a collection box at the bottom of the steps. Our life groups have started, but it's not too late to join. There's a listing of the groups on the back of your worship guide, and here's how you sign up for those. You can sign up on your communication card just by writing the number of those and dropping it in our offering box that you'll find by either door. You can go online to our website and sign up that way. You can just let the leader know, and they can fill you in on the details you need. If you haven't already picked up a book for your life group, they're over on the resource table, so they're over there. But already I'm hearing so many good stories from our life groups about the discussion and what everybody's learning. So this is really a good way to get involved. It's a Ribbons of Faith program, a CPR training class coming up. We have a community meal this Wednesday that's downstairs in the community room. So if you're interested in helping with that, there's some flyers and there's a sign-up sheet over at the resource table. We're doing a baked potato bar for the community. And we've been doing these one every month. The last Wednesday of every month, we've been doing a community meal. And it is amazing. I think the last, the hot dog cookout, we cooked like, 300 hot dogs, and they were all gone. I mean, it was a bunch. So a lot of people are coming through to eat, and it's a lot of people from our community. So it's just a good way to reach out and care. We also have some information about our first annual Family Fun Day out on the church land. We're going to cook some pig. We're going to have some fun, hay rides, games, music. We're going to do all sorts of fun stuff. So the information is in here on that. So lots of things going on, and we even have one more thing that got added in last night real quick here. There's a guy that's going to be here this afternoon at 3:30 speaking at the church. He's a guy by the name of Steve Demme. Some of the homeschoolers, that name will ring a bell because he does math. He does a math curriculum called Matthew C. But he was in the area, and I think a few people made some phone calls. And anyway, he's going to be here speaking today at 3:30 at the church, and it's about the family. He also ministers. He's been a past youth minister, and he just really strongly believes in the parent's role and the strength of a family. So he's going to be here talking about that today at 3:30. So if you've got any interest at all, I don't have a lot of details yet, unfortunately. I just know he's going to be here. You can call me later on after church, and I'll hopefully know a little bit more about it. But really interesting guy. I've watched a lot of videos of him doing math because our kids use that curriculum. So, but he's going to be here today at 3:30. So, again, lots of information, lots of things going on. And let me just ask you, how are you getting plugged in here at Cornerstone? These life groups are a great way to get plugged in. Another great way is to serve. We've got many opportunities to serve here on Sunday morning, to serve throughout the week. I want to encourage you to really think about this morning. How can you get connected here at Cornerstone? Because if you just come on Sunday morning, it's real easy to kind of blend in the crowd. But you have gifts and talents and abilities that God has blessed you with. And I want to see everybody using those for God's glory. So that's why we're here this morning, to lift up the name of Jesus, to give him glory. And if you will you pray with me before we continue on? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come here, we can worship you, that we can lift up your name. May you just speak to our hearts this morning. We ask that you bless these many activities, these many events that are going on here through Cornerstone. May you use them to draw people to you, just so people can come and see that the Lord is good. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And this morning, as we continue worship, we just want to invite you to worship with us. And, you know, I know some of us are sitting here go, man, I don't even sing in the shower for this long in the mornings. But, man, you know, God has done so much in our lives, and that's why we come and worship him through praise and worship, through song, and we worship him through the word. Because, man, I know he's changed my life, and I know what he's done in my life, and he's not totally finished with me yet, because I am so imperfect. You could ask my wife, she could tell you that. But it's so true that, you know, God loves us for us, and he wants us to be in a relationship with him. And it's just so awesome to come and just be able to just sing to him and say, thank you, Lord. And we just want you to stand up and join us as we worship this morning. Thank you.
I feel love, I feel safe, I feel Jesus in this place. I feel a warmth within me, I can't describe it, but I believe. I feel peace, I feel light, I see my stains turn pure white. I feel a burden lift from me as I raise my hands up and I sing. I feel love, I feel safe, I feel Jesus in this place. I feel a warmth within me, I can't describe it, but I believe.
Oh,
trusting in the trial and the change. One thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
On and on and on and on it goes. For it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Because on and on and on and on it goes. For it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Do a song that is new to hear, but it's really simple. And let this be our prayer
You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about how people pray the word of God over each other. They prayed in song over each other. And this morning, just let this be our prayer for Pastor, before Pastor Mike comes up and just speaks into our life.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want
Let's sing that
more
again. Set
of
a fire
you,
down
God.
My soul.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you.
Pray this morning is to have more of you, dear God, and that the fire will be set in our soul, dear God, and we'll let you come in and work in our life. We love you, Lord, and we pray for Pastor Mike as he comes and delivers your word and pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Do I really believe this word? The idea that all you need to do is make a decision, pray a prayer, sign a card, become a Christian, and keep your life as you know it. It's not true. You become a follower of Jesus and you lose your life as you know it. New Testament Christianity is a narrow road that's not easy. It's a costly road of continual obedience, and I want to urge you to take that path. God clothes every single Christian with the power of His Spirit so that every single Christian might lead people to Christ. I want to ask, will you obey God's will for your life, no matter what it is? Let's believe this word, even when it stretches us, and then let's proclaim this word, even when it costs us, because this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus.
Wow, what a powerful time of worship this morning. And I just want to open up with a word of prayer. Would you guys join me? Dear Heavenly Father, our desire this morning is that you would just stir in our hearts. We do want more of you. We want more of you in our life. We want more of you controlling us. Lord, we want to just surrender everything to you. Lord, may our desires, may our will, may everything within us just point people back to you. Lord, we just surrender this morning and we just turn it all over to you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When we worship, we're just coming at the throne of Jesus. He's in control. He's in control. And really, it's worship is an act of us humbling ourselves at the cross. And this morning, we're going to be talking. I'm excited about this morning because this is a message that really can change your life. And I don't just say that. I mean, it's not just hyperbole. I'm not just up here. This really, if you listen today, if you allow God to speak into your life, this is a message that can completely change you. Let me start off this morning by just simply asking you a question. And this is really our big question for today. Is what brings you joy and delight in this world? What brings you joy and delight in this world, in this life? What makes you happy? And when you start thinking about that, for many of you, you know, the answers are going to be all over the place. Some of you, it's going to be, man, it's my family. I just love spending time with my family. Some of you, man, it's when I'm out fishing or hunting or when I'm, some of you will even say, man, I love my job so much. Yeah, maybe not that. There's going to be people that, when you start thinking about what brings you joy and what brings you delight, that kind of reveals a little bit about the desires of our heart. What are we really looking for in life to bring us joy? And really, life is full of things that bring us joy, right? I mean, our vacations, our families, our health. But here's the reality. I have a feeling that most Christians would struggle to list their relationship with God as something that they delight in. And that's just the cold, hard reality. I don't think that for most people, if you look at the way we live our life, we would want to say, oh, yeah, it is. And that's right up there at the top. But I think for most people, the reality is, even though you desperately want that to be true, the reality is, you're really looking to things of this world to bring you joy. And the Bible speaks to that over in 1 John. It says, for this world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And when we look at this verse, the world has so many things that do kind of take our attention and take our desires. And even though that they can be healthy, then we take them to an extreme and we allow them to control us. And so what we've got to do is we've got to look at this and say, where does God fit in our life as far as bringing us joy and delight in everything we do? I think the problem is that we desire things of this world more than we desire Christ. Our desires are misplaced. We would rather please ourselves instead of pleasing God. C.S. Lewis wrote in one of his messages, and it's called The Weight of Glory. And this is a kind of a famous quote of his, and I think I've shared it before. And he kind of talks about our desires a little bit. And what he shares is our desires, it's not that they are too strong, but our desires are too weak. This is what he said. He said, if there lurks in most modern minds this notion that to desire our own good and to earnestly to hope for the enjoyment of it, if we think that's a bad thing, he says, I suggest that this notion has crept in from the canon and the Stoics and is no part of the Christian faith. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea
we are far too easily pleased. I don't know if that if you really caught that message, but that is powerful right there. That's powerful. We are far too easily pleased. We think, man, all this pleasure of the world, we think, oh, this is so great. This is so much fun. And sin may seem fun while we're in it, right, for a while, for a season. But I love what C.S. Lewis says. The reality is, it's not that our desires are too strong. It's our desires are too weak. We have settled. We have settled for things of this world instead of the things of God. And when we realize that we are far too easily pleased, we need to set our sights higher. We need to set our sights on God this morning. The first thing I want us to realize this morning is that Christ alone can fulfill our desires. Christ alone can fulfill our desires. Our cravings, our desires, they can only be satisfied by God. God, you know, you've heard this, that we all have this God-shaped hole in our heart, in our life, in our soul, that only God can fill. And there's truth to that. At its root, you know, our sins are driven by the fact that we desire something more than we desire God. It's idolatry. When we take, you know, things of this world and we lift them up and we say, man, I want this. I've got to have it. I need this. And whether it's materials, whether it's pleasure, whether whatever, we take something and we want them more than we want God. I like what Augustine said. This goes way back here. Early church father, he said, sin comes when we take a perfectly natural desire or longing or ambition and we try desperately to fulfill it without God. Not only is it sin, it is a perverse distortion of the image of the Creator in us. All these good things and all our security are rightly found only and completely in Him. So again, Christ alone can fulfill our desires. And we have to realize that when we look for ultimate satisfaction in life, it's not going to come from something of this world. It's only going to come from God. It's not going to come from your marriage. It's not going to come from your job. It's not going to come from your family. It's going to come from God. And when we take any of those things and we elevate them and we lift them up and we say, this is where my joy, this is where my satisfaction, this is where my delight is going to come from, we're setting ourselves up for trouble. The second thing this morning we've got to understand as we get into this is that we conquer sin by trusting Christ to change our desires. It's not by trying harder. It's by changing our desires. Last week we talked about this inside-out transformation that takes place in the life of a believer. And we've got to realize our satisfaction is not found in created things, but in our Creator God. We see that in Romans 1. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, worship, and served created things rather than the Creator. That's what happens in this world. And in so many different ways, we worship created things rather than the Creator God. And so we have to realize that we conquer sin by trusting Christ to change us from the inside out and to change our desires. And I think sometimes if we really are honest with ourselves, the reason we don't change, the reason we keep finding ourselves drawn to sin is we don't want our desires to change because we love sin too much. I think if we're honest with ourselves, the reality is sometimes we like control, we like doing things our way, and we don't really hate sin. We hate the consequences of sin. A lot of people, man, if you talk to somebody that's cheated on their wife and they get caught, they're gonna hate the fact that of the consequences that have now come into their life. If you talk to somebody that has stolen something, man, they're gonna hate that they've got to spend time in jail, right? If you talk to somebody that's struggling over and over with an addiction, they're going to hate the fact that they can't hold down a job. But when do we get to that point where we say, I just don't hate the consequences of sin. I hate sin itself. I hate sin. I want nothing to do with it. Last week we talked about this, right? We have to realize that when we sin, the most offended party is God. We offend God more than anybody else. And so we have to get our lives to the place where we say, I hate sin. I don't want anything to do with it. And when we get to that place and we start allowing Christ to change us from the inside out, he starts changing our desires. And it's more than just being sad. It's more than just being sorry when you mess up. This is what true repentance is. When we come before God, fall on our knees and say, I confess my sin. Please forgive me. I am changed. I'm turning my life around. I'm coming to you. That's repentance. It's not just being sorry for our sin. It's turning our life around and changing the direction of our life and following after Christ. And I think we get messed up sometimes because we just think, man, if I can figure out a way to do this sin without getting caught, everything's going to be all right. And so we find people struggling with pornography. We find people struggling with lust and impure thoughts and addictions. And they're just trying to kind of cover things up and say, well, if I can just get by here, I'll do my church thing on Sunday. I'll try to put him first in my life, but I don't want him to mess with this desire in my life. And we love sin too much. We've got to love something else more than sin. Something has to replace that in our life, right? I mean, when we think about that, I mean, if we want to get rid of that desire for sin, we've got to change our focus. We've got to put our focus on something far greater. That's what C.S. Lewis was saying. Our desires are too weak. We are far too easily pleased. We've got to love something else more than the sin we've loved for so long. One of the Scottish pastors several hundred years ago, Thomas Chalmers, he wrote a sermon. I think I mentioned this back last year, but he wrote a sermon. It's really interesting. It's called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. And you say, what? An expulsive power of a new affection. And what he says is the only way to dispossess the heart of an old affection is through the expulsive power of a new one. In other words, when something greater comes into our life, it makes us forget about the old. I mean, let's talk about this materialistically, right? I mean, you may think, I mean, when I was in high school, I had a 1978 Dodge Omni. Gold. Only one door worked. The door handles broke off the other side, so like when I picked Jennifer up on a date, she had to crawl through the driver's door. I thought that was a pretty cool ride. I mean, it was a car. I was happy. We paid $500 for that thing. I was riding in style. But then when I got up in college, my parents, they bought me a new car. I was like, oh, yes, a Honda Accord. And when I got that Honda Accord, that Dodge Omni didn't look so good anymore. All of a sudden, what I thought about that old car, it wasn't so hot anymore. The new desire had replaced my old desire, and I'm like, oh man, this is awesome. And that's what happens in life, right? When something greater comes, it pushes out the old. And when we realize that God is the greater object in life, that is where our desires, that's where our longing, he fulfills our every need, or he is, Christ alone can fulfill us. When we realize that, it pushes out the old. David Platt in the book Follow Me, he says it this way. He says, instead of trying to conquer sin by working hard to change our actions, we can conquer sin by trusting Christ to change our affections. Remember the words of Jesus in John 6. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. This is how we overcome the pleasures of sin, by letting Christ overcome us with the power of his satisfaction. When lust and lying and greed and possessions and pornography promise pleasure, we fight their appeal with fulfillment in Christ. We know and we believe and we trust that Jesus is better. And we refuse to give in to that sin because we have found greater gratification in our Savior. The way to conquer sin is not by working hard to change our deeds, but by trusting Jesus to change our desires. Whew! That's good stuff. That's good. When we realize that Jesus, it's not, the Christian life is not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of abiding in Christ, letting him transform you from the inside out. And he changes us. He changes our desires. Christ changes our desires through our relationship with him. And again, throughout this series, I'm going to keep coming back to this point. It's through relationships, through a relationship that he changes us. Not through a religion of rules and a list of things you should do and shouldn't do. No, he changes us through a love relationship. Through his word and through prayer and through other spiritual disciplines, our desires are changed from the things of this world to the things of God. And this morning, what I want to do for the rest of our time, I want to focus in on our prayer life. I want to focus in on our prayer life because I feel like this is one area that most people struggle in. I feel like we want to have a good prayer life, and it's not going to be one of those sermons where you just, okay, here's a bunch of guilt, condemnation. I'm not doing it enough. I know. No, that's not the goal this morning. My goal is to help you see what a prayer life looks like and how it can transform your life. So I went back this week and I read a book by John Piper, reread it, called Desiring God. How many of you, have any of y'all in here ever read that or heard of it? Just a few. It's a really good book. You can go to his website and download a PDF of it for free. It's like 20, 30 years old. It's an older book, but it's really a powerful book about what it means to find your delight, to find your satisfaction in God. And in his book, there's a couple of quotes that I've kind of pulled out this morning I want to share with you. One about prayer is this. He says, prayer is the open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing. And prayer is the turning away from ourselves to God in the confidence that he will provide the help we need. Prayer humbles us as needy and exalts God as wealthy. And another quote I saw, it said, a prayerless Christian is like a bus driver trying alone to push his bus out of a rut because he doesn't know that Clark Kent is on board. Okay, that's what a prayerless Christian is like. You're trying to push his life along. And man, you got a Superman with you, right? We've got to realize that prayer is powerful. I know we say that, but do we believe it? Do we believe that prayer is powerful? And so what I wanted to do this morning, if you got your Bibles, flip with me over to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we're going to camp out the rest of the message. Matthew chapter 6, again, a familiar passage, one we just hit on a few months ago when we talked about the Sermon on the Mount. And it's simply the Lord's Prayer. And I want to talk to you a little bit about how we pray this morning, how we pray. The first thing here that I'm going to share out of the Sermon on the Mount, if we want to delight in God, we must learn to speak to God in private. Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. The purpose of prayer is not for you to bring information before God. The purpose of prayer is for the disciple, for us, to experience intimacy with God. That's the purpose of prayer. It's not to say, hey, God, I know you don't know everything that's going on in my life, so here, let me give you a list of what's happening. And that's the way we view it sometimes. It's not like that. He knows everything we need, everything we desire before we even say it. The purpose of prayer is to bring us into intimacy with the Father. And so what we've got to do, it's why Jesus tells his disciples here, you've got to go in your room, get alone, and pray. Find a place. Find a time. Do whatever it takes to get alone with God. This one thing will completely change your prayer life, and it will change your desires. And what happens when we don't spend time in prayer? It's the world comes rushing in, and it starts filling our life with everything in this world, all our desires, everything. And so we've got to make time with God a priority. And when we communicate with the God who loves us and the God who saved us, something profound happens. We learn to abide in him. We learn to love him. And we learn to seek his desires. And here's the reality. We can be honest with God. We're talking to him in private, right? It's real. It's a real conversation. God the Father is a person, right? I mean, it's just like we're sitting and we're talking with God the Father. And we're talking with him, and we can open up and we can be real with God. The God of the universe cares so much about you that he wants to hear your heart. He wants to listen. He is there for you. You're not going to, he's not going to say, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. You did what?" I mean, right? I mean, if somebody sits down with me and I'm counseling someone, sometimes they're like, I can't talk about this. You won't believe what happened. And honestly, not much surprises me anymore. But imagine sitting before God the Father. You're not going to shock him. You're not going to surprise him. You're not going to hide anything from him. He already knows it. But when you start sharing, when you start confessing, when we cry out about our deepest needs, and when we share the desires of our soul, not because we need to give God information, but because we trust him and we desire that intimacy, something profound happens. We realize that he is our delight and he is our joy, and we can come to him with anything. The point of prayer is to drive us closer to God. It brings us closer, deeper into his arms. The point of praying should be a longing and a yearning for God. And we realize that nothing else can satisfy our deepest needs and the deepest desires of our heart. Without this desire, our prayer life just, it won't survive. And it helps us to realize that God is the one sustaining us. So we pray to God in private. We come to him in private. The second thing that we can realize here is that if we want to delight in God, we can speak to God as Father. As Father. This changes everything. Verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when he teaches his disciples to pray, he starts off with this. The first time in all of Scripture where anyone is encouraged to pray to God as the Father. The significance is incredible, right? Followers of Jesus have the incredible privilege of knowing and worshiping and talking to and relating to God as a Father. J.I. Packer says this in his book, Knowing God. He says, the fatherhood of God is central to the understanding of the Christian life. He says, what is a Christian? The question can be answered in many ways, but the richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God as Father. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. That God is our Father and we are his child. So let me ask you, do you know God as your Father? Or do you view him as an angry man sitting up in heaven ready to zap you as soon as you mess up? So many people, it's like they're scared of God because if I mess up, he's going to, and you hear people say, oh man, if I come to church, man, lightning's going to strike. And I can really say that because the first time I preached, lightning hit the building, right? Have I shared that story with y'all before? I think I have. Very first time I preached, lightning hit, blew a big old hole in the roof. I don't know what God was trying to tell me. It was interesting. But do you know God as Father, or is your faith more like that of a servant? Is your faith more like that of a servant? Do you have a personal relationship where you come to him as a child? You come into his presence to learn from him. Do you have a desire to please him because he is your Father in heaven? And you want to live your life for him. You want to be like him. Again, David Platt shares in his book, Follow Me. He says, without question, our status before God was settled at the moment we turned from our sin and ourselves and we trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord. But our lives are based on the love relationship we enjoy and experience every moment of every day as God our Father saturates us as his children with his affection. This is yet one more reason why we must refuse to settle for a hollow, distant, I prayed a prayer however many years ago brand of Christianity. There is so much more to being a Christian than this. As we follow Jesus as sons and daughters of God, we experience a desire for Him and a pleasure in Him that totally transforms everything about us. I want you to think about this from God's perspective. Do you think He delights in being a father to His children? We found on our computer at home some old family videos. And it was kind of interesting. They're from like 7 or so years ago. And we had gone to Disney as a family. And so we found these, and we hadn't seen them in years. And we were watching these videos of, and the kids were little, and they were so excited about going to Disney. And just as a father, you watch stuff like that when your kids are happy. Man, it just made me happy. It made me so excited to see my kids joyful. It made me so excited to see my kids full of life. And we were watching these videos, and then we came across some videos. And I'm not going to mention which child. I hadn't asked them for permission for this. But one of our children had trouble with what I would call throwing fits, right? We're in the South. You know what throwing a fit is. They threw a lot of fits. And so what we found ourselves doing is when they would throw a fit, we would film it. Good parenting advice here. I would film it when they were throwing a fit, and then, I mean, it made them mad when they saw, you know, quit filming me, you know, that kind of thing. But we'd film them throwing a fit, and then when they got a little bit better mood, we would make them watch the video of them throwing a fit. It was an effective way. It was an effective form of parenting because it really helped change some behavior here. But here's the thing I thought. Even while my child was throwing an absolute hissy fit, okay, as a father, I'm still looking there with love on that child. Nothing they could do is going to make me say, oh, I don't love you anymore. As a father, I'm looking at my child and saying, I love you so much that I want you to change. I love you so much that this behavior is not acceptable, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk with you through this so you can change your behavior, but I still love you. That's a father, right? That's a mother, the type of love you have for your kids. And our Heavenly Father is no different. And we feel like, man, He doesn't love us anymore when we sin. He is right there saying, I am your dad. Your dad. And I care so much about, I don't like where you are at right now. I don't like what's going on in your life. But I want to help you get from where you are to where you need to be. I want to see your desires change from things of this world to desiring intimacy with me. When we realize we are sons and daughters of the living God, wow. Doesn't that just like, I mean, and we look at all these, we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we are, you know, we look at all those terminology for what being saved means, we are born again, but we are adopted. We are adopted as sons and daughters of God. And so when we read 1 John 3:1, how great the love of the Father that He has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. See what great love that the God the Father has lavished on us. God our Father, He delights in forgiving us, providing for us, leading us, protecting us, sustaining us, comforting us, directing us, disciplining us, giving to us, calling to us, and promising to us. I mean, this is what a father does. And we are children of God. David Platt again. I keep going back to this book because this series, if you have this book, there's some good stuff in it. He says, doesn't it take your breath away for a moment to hear God say, I love you? To which we in our sinfulness must certainly respond, why? And then to hear Him answer, because you are my child. You are my child. To which we ask the obvious question, why would I, a hopeless sinner, now be called your cherished child, only to hear Him say, because I wanted you and I came to get you so that you might know me as Father. So that you might know me. So we delight, if we want to delight in God, we come, we speak to Him in private, we speak to Him as Father. And finally, we speak to Him about everyday life. We speak to Him about everyday life. Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we come to God and talk to Him about our everyday life. We don't bore Him. He wants to know what's going on in our life. And as you spend time with him in prayer, you'll find that his will and his desires become your will and your desires. You see a transformation take place as you abide in him. You can share everything you're going through because as his child, God wants to spend time with you. And here's a few reasons that we can spend time in daily prayer. Because daily prayer gives us an opportunity to share everything about our life with God. Life circumstances change every day. Right? I mean, every day, some days you go great. Some days it's like, man, I can't wait for the tomorrow. I mean, every day changes and God wants to know. He tells us to make our requests known to him. Listen to how the New Living Translation translates Philippians 4 here. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Now get this, don't worry about anything. Ooh. That's one we struggle with, right? Don't worry about anything. And it goes on to say, instead, pray about a few things. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's the type of life that we're talking about here. A peace about who you are, knowing that you are a child of God, that you don't have to worry about anything because he is in control. He is God. All right? And he wants us to share our joys. He wants us to call on him so he can answer our prayer. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It goes on to say, but there's also, we've got a responsibility here. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. That's what we are. And purify your hearts, you double-minded, right? I mean, there's this transformation that takes place, but he wants us to draw near to him. And so what daily prayer does, it gives us a chance to talk to him about everything. It also gives us a chance to express gratitude to him, that we are thankful for the blessings in life. It gives us a chance to confess our sin and rejoice in the forgiveness of God. Psalm 32, verse 5 says this, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And so, as often as Christians, we walk around with unconfessed sin in our life, and it hinders our relationship with Jesus. We have to remember that we're asking God for the strength to repent of our sins, and only God can help us turn from our sins, and he needs to hear our plea. Daily prayer is an act of worship. When we pray daily, it's an act of honoring him, giving him the worth for who he is, honoring him. 1 Thessalonians says this, be joyful always, pray continually, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We see here what it means to delight in God. We're to always be joyful. We're to always pray. We're to always give thanks. It's an act of worship. We're showing him how much we adore him. And finally, daily prayer is a way to acknowledge who is really in control of our lives. He is the one that's in control. We should acknowledge his proper place in our life. Truly desiring God, it changes everything in our life. It affects our attitude. It affects our attitude towards sin because our desires have changed. It affects our attitude towards suffering because now we count it all as joy because it draws us closer to the God who created us. It changes our attitude towards service because we delight in God as we serve others. It changes our attitude towards giving. We want to see God's will be done. It changes our attitude towards worship. We want to see God glorified. It changes our attitude towards evangelism and mission because we want to make God known, not only here in our community, but around the world. When we desire God, it changes everything. In Ephesians 3, I'm going to ask the band, you guys come on up. A lot of times I close with what a prayer from one of Paul's letters. And in Ephesians 3, we have a powerful prayer here. And this is important for us. And this is what Paul says. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with his inner strength through his spirit, Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. A powerful prayer for us. I want to close with one last quote, our final thought for today. It's another quote from the book Desiring God. That God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Are you satisfied in God today? Is he fulfilling your every desire and your need and your want? And when we come to him, what's amazing, he says, if you ask for anything you need, I'll give it to you. He gives us the desires of our heart. When our desires match his, it's amazing what happens. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Is God enough? True religion is when you serve God to get nothing more but then to get God himself. I'm just going to ask you to pray with me right now as we close. As you bow your heads, let that question just, is God enough? Is he enough for you? Are you trying to find joy, fulfillment, satisfaction in things of this world? Or is God enough? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come into your presence and pray to the God of the universe, the God that created us. You care so much about us that we can talk to you, that you listen, and that you talk to us, you speak to us. Throughout the Bible, Lord, we see how we can desire you and your will, and we learn from your word what it means to walk in your ways. But I'm thankful for that intimacy that comes through prayer. And we can talk with you and share with you and cry with you and cry out to you. Lord, I pray for this church this morning and everyone here that they would be able to cry out and acknowledge that you are their Father. That they are a child of the King. And that because of that, Lord, we have been given new life. We've been given a new family, a new purpose. Lord, I pray that we, as we go through this series, as our life groups meet and continue to study, that you would just challenge us and transform us and motivate us and change our desires so that we can follow you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We lift up your name this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we all pray. Amen. So we close this morning with a time of song. As always, I'm going to be over to the side. If you've got questions, if you want to pray, you can fill out prayer requests or any questions you have on your communication cards. If you want to, if this morning you're saying, I want to know God as Father, I want to give him life. If you're just going through the motions and you're here on church because that's what you're expected to do, but you don't really have a relationship with God, then this morning, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. You will be adopted into his family. You'll be given a new rights and privileges. Your life is forever changed. And this is your opportunity this morning. I'll be over to the side. I'll be willing to pray with you, talk with you, help you in any way. But would you guys just stand up as we close with a time of prayer this morning? In time of song.
Giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in
We don't leave this worship here, that we take it with us and this message with us, dear God, that church just won't be a thing that we do, but it's a thing we come and celebrate you and we go live our lives for you during the week. Dear God, I pray for those that aren't in a small group, may they find a small group, dear God. And I just pray, dear God, that we'll spend time with you because you are the great Father. No matter if our Father bailed on us or if our Father never was around or if our Father was an angry Father, you're not that. You love us. You love us with all our faults. And you say, come to me. Let me hold you. And let me clean you up. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for that love.